Welcome to the BBB National Programs Podcast, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics and self-regulation with business and industry leaders. Together, we seek to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Better Series Podcast. I'm James Lee. Politics has become so expensive that it takes a lot of money even to be defeated. That's what humorist Will Rogers said about political campaigns in the 1930s, well before the advent of television and digital advertising. Imagine what he would think of today's politics. According to the Federal Election Commission, candidates for the United States Senate and House of Representatives spent a record $5.25 billion on advertising in their quest for public office in 2018. Projections for 2020 congressional campaign spending top $6 billion. Add presidential campaign spending to the mix, and 2020 could be the year we see $10 billion spent just on political advertising. While Will Rogers was more concerned about the cost of politics, today there is concern about the content of political ads. We're all familiar by now with the taglines where candidates say, "I'm James Lee and I approve this message." But with so many forms of political advertising and so many sources of content, legitimate and otherwise, it's hard for even the most seasoned of political animals to know how to judge campaign ads. Help, though, is on the way. This year, the BBB National Program's Digital Advertising Accountability Program, or DAP, will be monitoring online content to ensure political advertisers follow best practices. Joining us today from the BBB National Programs is John Brescia and Ayaz Minas. John is the Vice President for DAP, and Ayaz is the Program's Manager for Data Privacy and Digital Programs. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks, James.
Yeah, thank you, James.
So let's get started by sort of setting the boundaries here. When we're talking about political advertising and political advertisers and content, who are we really talking about?
Sure. So when it comes to political advertisers, under the principles that we deal with, and we'll get into some of the specifics about what all of the details in the principles are, we're talking about the folks who pay for political ads. So this is paid for political speech, and we're concerned with something called express advocacy in particular. And so that's paid for political speech advocating the election or defeat of a particular candidate for federal or statewide office. So that's sort of what we're looking at when we talk about political advertising, and the advertisers are simply the people who pay for that advertising.
You know, I think most people associate the BBB National Programs with consumer advertising, you know, particularly around children and just good advertising practices. You know, political advertising is very, very different. So, you know, John, I'm going to throw this one to you. So why now? And why did the BBB decide to, National Programs decide to get into this arena of advertising, which is so murky to begin with?
The timing, not coincidentally, is after the 2016 election. And you may remember there were numerous hearings in Congress about speech on the internet regarding that election and the politics of it. A lot of that focused on something like organic content generated by foreign bot farms, but there was also a focus on the advertising content. And so what happened there is the advertising industry saw all of the chaos, frankly, that emerged online during this election and said, well, the ad industry has a part to play. The ad industry has long been working to provide transparency to consumers for consumer advertising when it comes to targeted or interest-based ads. Here, they thought they could apply the same logic of the transparency principle, drawing from existing themes in election law previously, to provide transparency for express advocacy. And in this case, transparency into, one, the political nature of the ad, and two, who paid for it and some details about them. And so this is the advertising industry's response to all of that, again, chaos, maybe the best word for everything that happened. Why BBB National Programs? Well, so the principles that we're going to be talking about today were put together by the Digital Advertising Alliance. They also put together a set of privacy-focused principles, like I mentioned, and we have been the enforcer of those privacy principles for many years now. and it was a natural fit for us to extend into the political ads enforcement world as well. And you know, frankly, we've at BBNP, we've got a long history of effective self-regulation. And so this is certainly the home for these sorts of programs, and we're glad to be doing it.
Well, we've mentioned it several times now, so let's sort of get into what are these new best practices? What are these new principles that we're talking about that hopefully will resolve some of that, as you noted, chaos from the last election cycle?
Sure. So the principles create, they create requirements, transparency requirements for online express advocacy political ads. Now, express advocacy means ads that advocate for the election or defeat of particular candidates. So let's say you have an ad that says support John Smith or vote against John Smith. That's express advocacy. Now, in contrast, if you have an ad that speaks only about a particular issue, that's not express advocacy. For example, an issue ad that says do not support fracking or support fracking for energy reasons, that would be an issue ad and that would not be covered. However, if you have an ad that says you should support John Smith because he supports fracking, or you should support John Smith because he's against fracking, that would count as express advocacy. So again, that's for the election or defeat of a particular candidate. Now, with respect to the requirements for these express advocacy ads, political advertisers, that is campaigns or political action committees, or the entities that put out these political ads, they have to work with their ad tech companies and vendors who reach voters online to provide something called enhanced notice and notice. So enhanced notice is essentially a signal, icon, or a set of wording that demonstrates an ad is political. It can come in the form of the DAA's political ads icon, which is this purple triangle icon. Or it can be a combination of words and phrases, such as paid for by John Smith for President 2020. Now, this idea of enhanced notice, it follows from the DAA principle's original formulation of enhanced notice, which is a blue ad choices icon or a combination of words and phrases that indicates that an ad represents targeted advertising or that background data collection is occurring for targeted advertising. So this new political advertising enhanced notice, it follows from that original idea. Now, to be compliant, this political ads enhanced notice must function as a hyperlink. When clicked or tapped, it should take users to something called a political ads notice, which is a disclosure that essentially indicates to users important information about who the political advertiser is, the name of that political advertiser, a responsible party like a treasurer or a CEO or a member of the board of directors for that political advertiser, and how to get in contact with that political advertiser. So again, in practice, you see the ad appear. There should be an icon or a set of words and phrases that a user can tap or click on, and it'll take users to that notice that describes information about the origin of that political ad.
So from a practical standpoint, then, there'll be a visual cue, or there'll be at least words that kind of give you the idea that there's more information you can go to find that. Is that a fair characterization?
Yes, I would say that is a fair characterization.
So, being the paranoid individual that I am, let's beg the question, because one of the issues that came from the congressional hearings and have been in the popular media ever since is these nation state actors, or just frankly just good old fashioned political campaign tactics, where sometimes you don't want people to really know who you are, and you're trying to mask a little bit of who the man behind the curtain is. How difficult is this going to be for somebody to make it look like they're playing by the rules when they're actually not? Is there going to be a mechanism for people to, like you guys, to make sure people are actually following the rules?
Yeah, so that's actually where we come in. We are an enforcement outfit, first and foremost. And so, in addition to the typical way that we have done in the past, where we have directed monitoring of websites or mobile apps done by staff in-house. We also take consumer complaints. All of that will carry over from our privacy work. We'll still do the same thing. But we've got an aggressive sort of set of automated tools and sort of joint computer-human review systems built that will allow us to, at significant scale, review political advertising on the internet and see where there may be discrepancies between what we're seeing and what the principles would require. And one of those things, of course, would be an attempt at sort of deliberate misinformation, right? Where, you know, an outfit doesn't just accidentally, let's say, leave off a piece of the notice, or they were unaware of the principles and didn't fully comply, and you talk to them and they're happy to do it, but where they instead put up what looks to be something that's compliant, but it's completely inaccurate. We're keeping an eye out for all of those sorts of things, because part of the issue with any sort of notice requirement is that notices need to be accurate, right? We've gone into that with our privacy work before, and there's no reason to think that that wouldn't be a component of our work on the political side.
We have campaign finance laws today that govern much of this, and the states all have their own versions of campaign finance laws. So we have federal and state and even some local. Contrast that for me with the rules that we have today and have had versus now what we're talking about with these principles.
Sure. So, you know, to start, it's important to understand both the difference between existing election laws and these principles that we're talking about, and also where those things intersect. So first, we could go on for hours on campaign finance law, but I'll be really, really brief and say that campaign finance laws are largely handled by the federal and state governments. Like you said, there's some local interface there as well. And they've traditionally focused on things like contributions and expenditures by certain political organizations, like a candidate for office or a 527 group or a super PAC. So that area has seen a great deal of law and regulation both imposed and then later rescinded through primarily court judgments related to the First Amendment. And so, again, we don't have enough time to dig into, you know, Buckley versus Vallejo or the latest injunction out of the Fourth Circuit. But what I can say is that, it's important for political advertisers to be aware of these things, obviously. And, you know, campaigns have sophisticated operations to make sure that they're ticking these boxes, no doubt. But just as a PSA, if you're engaged in political advertising, you owe it to yourself to consult a knowledgeable attorney in this area to make sure that you are checking all of those boxes and providing the right disclosures, filling out the right forms, making the right filings based on the right deadlines, because some of those are pretty tight turnarounds. The principles, on the other hand, are different in that they don't carry the force of law. They're self-regulatory. And they're also narrowly tailored to express advocacy. So here, there's a very narrowly defined scope for a very specific purpose. And they're striking really at the core of one of the concepts in American election law, which is transparency. So as we explained earlier, the point is to let voters know who paid for a given ad so they can do things like vet the message against the public reputation of the speaker, or to investigate maybe why, for example, a certain ad that's pro a particular candidate was funded by this particular industry group. That information allows them to dig into those sorts of questions. And so the overlap there, for sure, is that election laws and the principles in significant part are trying to arm people with information so that they can make up their own minds, because the American election system, and you can talk about whether or not there's success or failure on this front, the degrees of success and failure over time, but the point has been individual voting through choices that are self-determined by individuals based on assessing the information available to them. And this fits right in with that same sort of ethos. And the final point I'll make on this is that there isn't point of intersection with the principles in terms of compliance with the federal and state laws. And that is that if the advertiser needs to comply with certain existing laws that require certain notices, the principals anticipate that and, you know, have room there in the notice structure for providing state and federal required disclosures, as well as whatever the principals require. So there's an intentional junction there and an attempt to avoid any conflicts with existing law.
Yeah, I almost want to leave it there because that was such a great conclusion and such a great description of why there is value here. But let's keep going a little bit further, because I do want to explore this concept that there really is value to both a candidate and the candidate's organization or whoever is making this express advocacy. There is real benefit for them, as well as there's benefit for the voters.
Right. And especially, I think especially given some of the environment of mistrust and polarization that, you know, we're all kind of experiencing nowadays, especially with the information that people encounter online with the large platforms, we believe that by creating an environment where voters can easily recognize online express advocacy and political ads and learn about where they came from so they can just better understand the ecosystem, can help rebuild trust in this larger digital environment as it relates to political content online. And at BBB National Programs, one of the missions of the organization is to promote trust in the marketplace so businesses and consumers can work together. And we think by creating transparency around the origin of political content online, it can help rebuild trust in some of these digital environments where the political world is overlapping in these digital environments. And I think nowadays, especially where legislative bodies are focused on other crises and other events, this is a perfect moment for self-regulatory programs like ours to help address these issues.
That's a great point that, you know, there are a lot of other things going on, but there are still processes that still have to, in both in government and in commerce, that still have to occur. And in a situation like this, this really is a place where the BBB National Programs shines and can help businesses continue to operate in a best practice level, even though there's a lot of distraction clearly going on at the moment. So let's fast forward for a second. We'll get in our DeLorean and turn on the flux capacitor. We're at the end of this year. We've been through the first election cycle with these principles in place. What does success look like?
So I'd say, I think, as we're working to sort of socialize these principles and inform companies of their obligations and get them on the highway to compliance, to us, I think success will be the vast majority of express political ads across the web containing compliant enhanced notices that lead to compliant notices. Now, that might seem like a tall order if you're looking at the vastness of the internet, but look at your internet experience now. As it relates to our existing data privacy program, a lot of your favorite websites, the apps that you see, the social media platforms that you encounter, and a lot of the online ads that you encounter nowadays, just through your browsing experience, there's a lot of tools and notices, such as the DAA Ad Choices icon. If you navigate the web to your favorite websites, I bet you'll see the DAA Ad Choices icon served in ads, and I bet you'll see a lot of links that say ad choices or interest-based advertising or about our ads. We want to replicate that experience in the political in the commercial advertising arena. We want to replicate that in the political advertising world. And we've been able to do that with our privacy principles, and I'm confident we'll be able to do that in the political advertising space.
Well, thank you, John Ayaz, for joining us today. Let's convene here in November or December and talk about what actually happened, because I think we'll find some fascinating results, and I think this will make a real difference in our political discussion and discourse.
Well, thanks, James. Thank
you. And thank you for listening to the BBB National Programs Better Series. Don't miss an episode by subscribing on our website, bbbprograms.org. Click on the podcast tab and hit the subscribe button. You'll find all of our episodes there, where you can listen on your Apple Podcast app or your favorite streaming platform.
You just enjoyed the Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com. Follow us on Twitter at @BBB_NTLprograms. Send your comments and ideas to podcast@BBBNP.org. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the BBB National Programs or its affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.